The following KOPN podcast is made possible by the generous donations of listeners like you. Please consider a donation to listener-supported community radio, KOPN. You can donate securely on our website at kopn.org.
To another exciting edition of Thought Crime Radio, and today we're sort of doing a hodgepodge of issues, mostly 9/11, I imagine.
Well, I do have a question that relates to that.
Let me introduce the guest here. This is Kurth Barker speaking. He's clued in on a lot of, if not all of the stuff we've been talking about on this show for months.
He's the man behind the scenes.
He's the man behind the scenes. He's the guy that came up with the word, the title of the show, Thought Crime Radio. And Janelle is with me in the studio, and this is Rich. And on the phone, I think we have Patricia. Patricia, you're there? Is Patricia there? I guess not. I don't. Something's wrong with the phones, maybe.
And we're here.
We're here.
And she can call back if we've lost her.
Yeah. Okay. So, Kurth, I understand you wanted to talk about...
I have a question for Janelle.
Okay.
Now, we've gone into 9/11 truth and all the details and technical stuff, and there's no question that it was a false flag operation. But the question is, how do you wind up with a society of people who are so conditioned that they will go along with something that's totally untrue, like the story of 9/11, and wind up being so conditioned that they just march in and accept it all, even though it's all an illusion? how did the people of America and the human race wind up like that?
That's the question, isn't it?
Right.
And
what is that
was the question that we had when we started this show about a year and a half ago, talking about obstetrics.
Mm-hmm.
And the separation of the mother baby and circumcision and not breastfeeding. And now you guys have been talking about these conspiracy theories for about 6 months, and we're hoping to tie them together to make sense of that, why we've been talking about these two diverse topics for a year and a half. And so the question is what makes people sheeple?
Exactly.
And that's when we go back to the obstetric abuse that we talked about. And it goes back to the brain development of the human baby and how that's denied during the birthing process. And it's the mother's rights to her body and her choices, and to have a birth that is not violent, and for fathers to be able to be participants in this birth in a way that empowers them as men rather than shuts down their ability to protect their baby and their wife. So at the beginning of life, we have a newborn baby whose brain is interacting with the environment from the very beginning of life, conception forward, on a nervous system level, on a sensory level. And this baby is remembering and feeling and responding to everything that happens to him or her during birth. And when you have the system, the obstetrical system is an aspect of the political system. I mean, that's a big conspiracy theory that we've been sort of putting out there, that there is a conspiracy to why they're overpowering women and and the baby and men. So when you have the forces of the outside, that when the first experience of a baby is that it's harsh, it's loud, it's painful, it's fearful, they're separated, there's someone on the outside who has taken them and then dictates everything that happens to them, that's imprinted on the brain that there's this power out there that's bigger than me that controls everything. And also in the process of birthing into this planet, when we're drugged and we experience mechanical and intervention births, I'm not sure how to mm-hmm. how to clarify this. You look like you have a question while I'm gathering my thought.
Well, I'm trying to think about what human beings would be like if they didn't have all this birth trauma and this early child abuse that's done by the medical profession. What would a human, would such human beings be of such a state of mind that they wouldn't accept a fascist corporate state and they wouldn't go along with 9/11? Would they really be that different?
That's what we've been talking about, and that's what in my field in pre- and perinatal psychology, the Association for Pre- and Perinatal Psychology and Health, that is a belief. And it's a belief within the field of midwifery. And I think that anecdotally, when you look at the babies who are born without drugs, even the nurses will just be, you know, they'll just be so amazed, like, well, the hospital's here. A nurse told me that they have a 90% epidural rate. So when they see a natural birth, they're just so surprised at how engaging that baby is and how calm the baby is. But when you have these babies that are born that way, when they come to the mother and they get to stay with the mother and they don't have people poking and prodding, sticking things down their throat, toweling them off roughly, giving them shots that they really don't need in that particular moment, because the research shows that at least for an hour there's this moment in neurology in the brain development that will never happen again, and it has to do with attachment and bonding. So when they're able to do that with their mother, they feel safe, they feel protected, they feel nurtured, and that's what human beings need in order to not be warriors. In order to be able to stand up for themselves. What I was going to say before was that when babies experience all this, they disassociate. When they're drugged and they have all this mechanical, they disassociate. And there's an aspect of us who've been born that way, most of us today, who disassociate all the time. And we disassociate all the time right now by sitting in front of the TV and watching stupid entertainment that does not edify our lives, does not edify our culture's lives, but creates a lot of conflict and a lot of misinformation that just continues to, you know, even as young as the children right now, they're getting gearing up for the whole Christmas season, and people are like oblivious to what is really going on, and the children are learning this early, before they can even talk.
Yeah.
They're learning, they want.
So we have a society of people who are so disengaged that their reality comes from television, where they don't actually have to talk to anybody, and they'll go along with whatever they're told to go along on television. That becomes their reality, rather than being out in the world engaged with people and dealing with reality by talking to other people and seeing the real world.
Yeah, and what happens when people choose to give birth at home or to try to give birth in the hospital without all the interventions, when they start to do their own education and explore, after you have an unmedicated, non-medical birth, these people begin to look at everything else. They tend to look at the school system. Why would I, once you have that kind of attachment with your baby, where this, you know, it's in your home, you were in charge of it, you chose who was there, they respected what you wanted, and it was quiet, and they didn't have all these interventions, then you have this attachment to this human being that makes you go, you know what, I don't think I want my child in school. And then you think, well, I don't, what's this immunization stuff? And then, well, what about organic food and our water sources and our environment? And politics is so out of our hands.
Right.
But a lot of the people that begin to become conscious, it's often through, I'll say it differently, a lot of the people I know that give birth that way, or that were born that way, are not easily led by misappropriated power over people, because they did not have that. They were not overpowered and hurt and separated and harmed.
Right. So I think we're seeing how the human race has been altered through birth trauma and early childhood trauma to be conditioned so that they can be controlled by authority figures. And now I have a question for Rich, and that is, how do you actually define this group of authority figures, the New World Order, the people who want to create a one-world government? You've often referred to them as Nazis or other things like that, but exactly who and what are they, this authority figures that are seeking to rule the world through a single globalist government?
Well, they are the people who can purchase the kind of power necessary to bring this about. They are the people at the top of the financial pyramid, because, you know, money can buy countries, dictators, money can buy the Pentagon, military contractors, all of the infrastructure, intellectual and physical infrastructure, and educational and propaganda infrastructure necessary to bring this about. And some of them are well-known families like Rockefellers and Rothschilds, the people you don't hear about in the media, while politicians parade around on stage and pretend to be in charge of something. Just last week, I read an excerpt from the Council on Foreign Relations website where the National Security Advisor, Obama's former National Security Advisor, stated that he took his orders directly from Henry Kissinger. Now, this should blow anyone's mind to consider that Henry Kissinger, who theoretically hasn't been involved in politics since the Nixon administration, is still behind the scenes actually giving orders to the National Security Advisor of a Democratic administration, no less. And this gives some idea of the actual power behind the throne, how the real power centers and money, you know, money centers wield power in the political arena. And what is power? Power is just in a complex system like a society, it's just the ability to get large numbers of people to do your bidding. That's the meaning of power. And when Janelle talks about dissociation and isolation of the baby from the mother and disempowerment and helplessness imprinted on the baby, this is a prescription for dissolving localized social bonds, community bonds that would otherwise form between that baby and that, you know, the upcoming adult and his immediate surroundings. The portion of the environment that he has some control over, that he has some means of gauging the honesty of the people that he deals with. He has some power over the things that affect his life. And when you dissolve those bonds and expose people to large quantities of propaganda and virtualized reality on TV, you create essentially a virtualized person, a person that's disconnected from largely anything except essentially is the state, the state's propaganda mill, feeding, you know, into their brains or exploiting their fears, largely fears of being, you know, tied down and circumcised or otherwise traumatized as a helpless people. You know, the system perpetuates and exploits those fears, and
I'd like to also know some of the actual mechanisms for controlling, like the Council for Foreign Affairs, the United Nations. Are there organizations through which this group of billionaires are controlling society, eugenics?
Well, the Council on Foreign Relations is supposedly, purportedly, a highly respected bipartisan, quote-unquote, organization that, you know, if anyone in Washington, you know, would be invited to come to these conferences put on by, you know, essentially the Rockefeller Foundation and his allies, David Rockefeller's allies, at the Council on Foreign Relations. And this is where the intellectual basis for the policies that don't change no matter who's in power. There's a group of policies that never change, that have bipartisan support, like the export of American jobs abroad, you know, the financialization of the economy, the abandonment of the physical infrastructure of the country, and so on. These are things that are apparently supported by both the Democrats and Republicans. And it's all happening right under our noses, largely in concert with these elite foundations and policy groups that create the intellectual framework for pursuing these agendas.
Okay, I have a question for Janelle. Now that we've kind of defined what the problem is and who's behind it, are there any solutions to this at all? Why are we even talking about it if it's all hopeless?
Well, I think that's why we are talking about it, because somebody needs to be talking about it. Somebody needs to be connecting all these dots, because most people in our community, in our state, in our country, are really at a loss about how everything is just going down the tube. Their lives are changing before their eyes, financially, job-wise, family-wise, and I think people want answers. And, you know, my background is a degree in psychology and one in counseling and one in conflict resolution, and it was just the conflict resolution degree where we began to look at the power structures and how that impacts people. But our mainstream psychology and education and religion are not looking at the disempowerment of human beings in this country that's supposed to be the greatest country in the world for freedom and liberties, and some people would say that we aren't very free here, that we're losing that very quickly. And so we're talking about it, we're trying to figure it out. And in my field, there are a good number of us who believe that within a couple of generations, we could turn this around if we were to begin to empower a woman to choose where and with who and how to give birth to the baby that her body has built and she knows, and expected the medical field to follow the science that shows us that what they're doing is medically unnecessary, but it has to do with litigation and their income, and it harms the baby.
It harms the baby, you know. Many people live.
It harms all of us. And when we talk about the baby, when I talk about the baby, I'm talking about you when you were born, whoever you are that's listening. When you were born, you had a right. You had a right to nutrition and safety and nurturing during gestation, and you had a right during birth to be connected with your mother and to be drug-free and to not be poked and prodded and rubbed and scrubbed and given shots and separated from your mother and given formula. And when we begin to do what is natural, I think, and several other people that I know believe, that we could begin to create a humanity that not only does not want to go to war, but begins to share power, because they aren't overpowered, because they have resources. Because when you have the mother's milk, when you cry and your mother responds to you, then you learn that it's a safe world and that you're cared about and that you're attended to. And if the father, whoever in her life, is supporting her, she's a better mother because she has support, and she is nurtured, and she's taken care of. So I like to say that the obstetric medical system is the factory of deficits, disorders, and dysfunctions that creates the need for a lot of the medical care that we need throughout the lifetime. They are the conveyor belt that feeds the food chain of services and physicians and medical care throughout the lifetime. And there's a lot of research in various fields to back that up. It's just that it's not allowed in the mainstream because it really upsets the whole power structure. You don't want people homeschooling their children because those children are going to have a healthy respect for authority. You're not going to have high school and junior highs with the conflicts that they have right now. When you have children who aren't in conflict with authority from the very first moments of their life, every system that you want to talk about, we can trace it back to the primal period. And if we put all of our money, instead of trying to drug and counsel and have programs for the whole myriad of services and programs that children and families need, if we would take that money and put it in the beginning of life and support conscious conception, healthy gestation, and for crying out loud, we're the only industrialized nation that does not have a maternity leave for paid maternity, extended paid maternity leave for mothers to stay home with their children. We have children from 6 weeks or earlier being taken from their mother and put into institutionalized care. And over and over and over, the research is showing that this institutionalized care is not good. Yes, some of the research shows that sometimes they do better academically, but they don't do better with connections, human connections and human relationships. And that's what we need to create people who will demand that there's a change in policies and politics.
So...
And on the other end of it, I think they just need to get rid of everybody in Congress and just start over. I mean,
right.
It's a multiple level thing that we need to work towards.
But your primary solution is to change the way children are born and raised in the early years, and that will create a new human race that won't put up with all this oppression.
They won't put up with it, but they won't create it either.
Right.
They will not be participants in oppression and taking resources from all over the world that don't belong to them without consideration for the whole.
All right. And I have a question for Rich. Talking about solutions, are there other solutions, financial or otherwise, things like the Monetary Act or buying silver that could make a difference in dealing with this oppressive New World Order?
Well, the monetary system is the base of their power. This is the scam that they've been employing for, I guess, you know, well over a century, certainly. I'm not sure how far back it goes, but when the Rothschild dynasty arranged to, with the English government, the British government, to print money out of thin air and loan it to the government at interest, this was a major step forward in organized crime technology, and it was unfortunately exported all over the world. Most of the central banks in the world are now controlled by the same organized crime cartel, including the Federal Reserve, and the basis of their power is their ability to counterfeit money legally and charge interest for it. Actually, J.P. Morgan seems to be at the heart of the beast, which is attempting to impose the shock doctrine on this country. During the, and by the way, J.P. Morgan is majority owned by the Rothschilds. When J.P. Morgan himself died, it was discovered that he only owned about 18% of J.P. Morgan's stock.
Could we also say that the shock doctrine applies to the birth experience?
Absolutely. This is one long shock doctrine. It's
what is the shock doctrine? What's the definition?
Well, in an economic arena, it would be the disruption of the integrity and sustainability of a perfectly well functioning, organically grown economy. You know, like the U.S. economy used to be largely rural. Agricultural, everybody, most people lived off the land, they could feed themselves, they were independent entrepreneurs.
And on a human level, on a family, on a baby level, person level, and a family level, the current system of medical care, bringing in babies in a medical system that is concerned about finances and litigation, is that the things that they do to the baby shock the baby. People are born in shock, and if you can look at babies and see that, and we never get out of that shock unless we make a conscious effort to acknowledge the birth and to do the healing work and acknowledge it. So we're all walking around in a certain sort of shock, and it's in our early brain. It's not in our neocortex. Most of us are in a certain level of flight and fight and freeze. There's a third option, because fight and flight, you know, when we go into shock, we can't fight, and if we're in a society now, we can't fight and we can't run away. We go into shock. We just sit there and take it. We go disassociate. And that first disassociation imprints the person for life, so that they're susceptible to whatever doctrines are being forced by the medical system onto babies and children, the educational systems, the community systems.
All right. So the shock doctrine works both economically on a macro scale and on an individual scale as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you recall, Patricia Robinette, our co-host on other shows, was talking about how she had done quite a bit of research into the use of trauma in creating states of trance and dissociation and control of an individual. Actually, the CIA's mind control program, MK Ultra, was heavily involved in the induction of trauma as a means of controlling an individual. So, most of the people in this country are actually in a state of post-traumatic stress that makes them very suggestible and controllable and fearful of authority figures. The whole thing is a paper tiger. But I want to get back to J.P. Morgan for a minute, okay?
Sure.
During the 2008 crisis, economic crisis, when even Goldman Sachs was in danger of going bankrupt, J.P. Morgan was above the fray despite having the largest derivative portfolio in the world, estimated around $100 trillion. And their biggest, most leveraged position is in the silver market, where they are thought to hold around 25% of all the silver short contracts in existence. J.P. Morgan is highly vulnerable to upward movements in the price of silver. Silver has long been the target of the money changers because it's the poor man's gold, since there's about 10 times more silver than gold in the world. So it's harder for the zombie banking cartel to monopolize and control it. Remember that gold, silver, and paper currencies are all just representations of real wealth, like food, shelter, and energy, the things that we actually use to live. The power of the transnational criminal cartel that owns the world's central banks, including the Federal Reserve, is directly proportional to the perceived value of whatever monetary tokens they have in their vaults, which in turn is related to the scarcity of those tokens outside of their vaults. They want people to use their toilet paper dollars as money because they are in total control of its production. They can print it out of thin air and collect interest on it. And as long as people think it's worth something, the banksters can buy real power and real wealth with it, even as it declines in value per dollar due to overproduction. The whole scheme is nothing but a psyop, a paper tiger, which is completely dependent on the human herd's mass acceptance of an obvious fiction that the golden calf or the silver calf or the paper calf has some divine attribute that makes the high priests who wield it worthy of power and privilege. But of course the dollar's days are numbered. This particular shell game is coming to an end, so the pathocrats are in the process of shuffling us off into an international basket of toilet paper currencies, which they also print out of thin air. This is the sleight of hand by which they intend to maintain control even as they bring economic ruin to the rest of the world. But their scheme will only work as long as they can monopolize the medium of exchange, whatever it is. As more people recognize the fraud at the heart of the privately controlled fiat currency system, toilet paper currencies will give way to things of a less ethereal nature like gold and silver, which at least can't be created out of nothing. Max Keiser, a financial analyst, has started a campaign to bankrupt J.P. Morgan by buying silver, which has gone viral on the net. Every silver purchase is an arrow into the heart of J.P. Morgan, an act of self-defense in the impending dollar collapse, and a vote for an honest currency.
So that's one thing people can do, is they can buy silver. You yeah. think it's a reasonable investment?
Yes. I mean, there's all indications are that silver has long been the target of a concerted effort at price suppression using various financial shenanigans. And if and when, well, certainly the question is when, when they lose control of the silver market, indication is that it will skyrocket. Patricia, are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
I can't hardly hear you.
Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I tell you what, I can just barely hear you. Is this KFRU?
No, it's not.
KOPN.
Oh, I'm sorry, I got the wrong number.
That's all right. Thank you.
Oh, well.
You know, now that you mentioned Patricia Robinette,
mm-hmm.
She has a wonderful book called Knowledge, which deals with human spirituality. If she were on the show today, I was going to ask her about spiritual solutions, but she does have a website, doesn't she?
patriciarobinette.com.
Mm-hmm. And that's, how's Robinette spelled? Do you
R-O-B-I-N-E-T-T-E.
All right. And that's if you're looking for a grounded spirituality, this is a wonderful book that explains this. And both Silver and Patricia's book would make a great Christmas present since it's that time of year.
Right, right. The commodification of spirit here, the Christmas season.
Right, give silver for Christmas.
We were talking about the increasingly fascistic, totalitarian tendencies in this country.
So define fascism.
We have a caller, just a minute.
Okay.
Caller, are you there? Can you hear us?
Hello.
Oh, hi, Patricia. How are you doing?
Good timing. We were just talking about you.
Did you try to call early?
I'm here.
Okay.
I hear there's...
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
We were just talking about your book, Knowledge.
Thank you. I tried to call earlier, but there was no, I didn't get picked up, so I was just been listening to you guys. Good show.
So do you see spiritual solutions to the crisis our species is facing right now?
I do, yes. I think that, Janelle said a couple of generations. I don't think it would take that long. I hope it wouldn't take that long. Because
it depends on how many generations. Like, I'm first generation giving birth in the hospital. But we also have people who've third, fourth, fifth generation of being born under duress and power. And so, depends on the family.
Mm-hmm. Well, if someone had access to what my book talks about, which is knowledge of that life force inside, then that is the ultimate healer. So I don't think that it would take very long, if people were encouraged to go inside and to feel that love that actually it gives them life every single moment of every single day. It was with them in the womb. It's where they came from. It's their source, their origin. And when they experience it again, it's incredibly healing. And it's always there. So there's no need to ever feel alone or abandoned or abused or, all the trauma can just go away. So yes, I do. I see a spiritual solution. I don't see spiritual ideas necessarily as adequate, but that direct experience that all the scriptures talk about, but we kind of gloss over, we don't really hear it. Let's see. There was a quote by Winston Churchill, I think, that I heard the other day. It was, something like, most men, when they might stumble across, men stumble over the truth from time to time, but most pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing happened. And literally, if you talk about that experience inside as the ultimate truth, we do. We experience it from time to time. And, we go, wow, that was a really wonderful moment or day or, time in my, I love that person that was so wonderful or it was so great on the beach in Hawaii or something. We get a beautiful feeling and then we just carry on as if nothing happened. But it's that feeling that really is that spiritual experience. And when you know how to dwell in that and you have the tools by which to mine that beauty, mine those sources of wealth, the life and the beauty and the love and the joy and the peace and all that, then incredible healings can happen, you know, just by exposing yourself to that.
Well, the Unity Church has a saying that, and I'm sure that other churches do as well, that we're a spiritual being having a physical experience.
Mm-hmm.
And related to the birth, you know, people think that I'm all about birth, and I am, but what I'm really about is the soul and mm-hmm. and supporting people to find wholeness again, because we come in at conception, we come in from someplace. There's an energy, there's an essence that comes in, and there's an essence that goes out at death. But when this essence is coming in at conception, that's also a defining moment. But prior to that, we are whole, and we come into this physical body. We may come into parents who are unconscious. They might be 15 years old and doing drugs and having sex and conceiving a baby. That's going to affect that baby, as is a couple who is financially stable and they love each other and they want a baby to come into their union. They want an expression of their love. Those are two examples of the kinds of conceptions that we can have. And from that period on, we're in human form, and we take on the ancestral DNA lineage, the memory that's present in our parents' bodies. And I think from that moment on, we're being formed according to the environment, but we're also always seeking wholeness. And the older we get, the farther we get away from that original wholeness that we were, the original experience of being built to be in this world. But we're always seeking connection to the self, to a higher mm-hmm. self,
right.
to wholeness. I call it wholeness.
Right. Okay. Well, that's what knowledge is all about. Knowledge is the know-how of how to experience that wholeness, that oneness.
Right. The Holy Spirit is always there, but it's a matter of finding a way to reconnect with that. And the Holy Spirit is always there, ready to heal anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing I thought was so wonderful about your book, is that you have these quotes from all around the world, but they all follow a similar theme. It's a great way to center your mind on, you know, an authentic, grounded spirituality.
Yes.
And that may be...
And that's where the healing is. That's where it's all about. Because then we know that we're not just these limited human bodies that may have been abused at birth or in early childhood, but that's not what we are. What we are is that inviolable, pure spirit, innocent, whole, complete, you know, just totally healthy. And everything that happened to us was just stuff along the way, and we can release it very easily from there.
Now, from the perspective of birth trauma healing that I do, we actually embrace the experiences, whether they are love or fear, pain or bliss, which includes the birth experience and all the things that happen afterwards. That is programmed into our physical body and our nervous system, so we can't get rid of that. We can't just release that. That is our philosophy and belief, is that we embrace who that baby is. That baby that is my baby is my early brain. That experience is imprinted in my early brain, and that's the unconscious, subconscious, sensory part of my brain. And when we try to get rid of the baby, whether it's with drugs or birth therapy or surgery or whatever, when we want to get rid of the pain or the separation, the baby experiences that as trying to get rid of the baby. So we embrace the experience. Whatever happened at birth, whatever happened at conception, during gestation, formed who we are today so that we could be who we're supposed to be in this life. And it's part of, I believe, that we choose our parents, we choose our birth, so that we can, and on a soul level, I think a man even chooses circumcision for whatever that soul's lessons are going to be here. And that's a whole other discussion, but really relevant to the bigger picture of all the social issues going on.
Yeah. I have a question for Ruth.
I'm sorry, but we're not actually saying different things, Janelle.
I was just clarifying.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a question for Rich. Are we being naive seeing spiritual solutions is going to stop the J.P. Morgans and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, or are they just going to wipe us out with Malthusian methods there?
Well, I mean, they're currently in the process of assaulting us. I don't know how often people look up in the skies lately, but people should do some Googling for the word chemtrails, C-H-E-M trails, not contrails, but chemtrails.
You mean chemical trails?
Yeah. It used to be that jet planes flying high in the air, left a relatively short trail of frost that would sublimate and evaporate within just a few jet lengths, plane lengths of distance. It would disappear. Now we have repeatedly over the past, certainly the past 6 months or more in this area, we've seen planes that leave smoky trails that go from horizon to horizon that do not evaporate. They simply spread out and just cause the whole sky to become milky. And people have done chemical analysis of this spray because it's happening everywhere in this country, including places like Mount Shasta in California, which is a pristine wilderness environment. The snowpack on Mount Shasta has now been saturated with the chemical residue from these chemtrails. And they've discovered that the chemtrails have large concentrations of aluminum, barium, and strontium. And exactly what the intention here is anybody's guess. It's conceivable that this is an effort to slow down the purported problem of global warming due to human anthropomorphic global warming.
So I'm guessing that a bunch of us doing yoga and meditating, you don't think is going to change that?
I think we're in the physical plane here, and we need to use all the tools at our disposal. And meditation is one of those things, but buying silver is another one.
Well, another factor with the spiritual solution is that once people know that they are not bodies, that they are powerful spiritual beings, then they're not quite as reluctant to get involved and to say what's going on and what's needed and to take action and, to really turn things around. I think as long as they think that their bodies, they're very fearful that their bodies can be hurt and killed. So they, cower inside of them and just pray that it'll all go away and nobody will notice them. But once they know that they're not bodies, then they're more liable to speak out. And that's what happened to Jesus, both things, that he spoke out, and that he also, was subjected to crucifixion, and yet, he knew that he was not a body. And ultimately, he knew that the people who were angry with him were just deluded. They were not, And I think, what would have to happen for the entire thing to end would be either the people who are perpetrating these crimes would be isolated and subjected to their own healing, or that maybe they would be voluntarily going in that direction. Because it's really the only game that is being played on the planet. If they think that money is the game and power is the game, then it's just a case of mistaken identity, because they've forgotten who they are and they've forgotten that they are also very powerful spiritual beings, and that really the name of the game on the planet is to heal and to be able to extend love rather than to be in fear and thrashing about trying to, gain all the power that they can out of the fear.
I think on the planet in our culture, it really is a money game, though. Going back on the micro level, for example, in my previous field, being in human services, there's so many people who, and even doctors and nurses, my daughter and I were just talking on the way up to the show about police officers, how they most likely wanted to become police officers because they wanted to help their community. And most of us start out that way. Then when we get in our jobs, we find that we have to serve the organization. We have to serve the CEO. That was my experience in working with families, is that there was a system that had to come first. And I think most of us, in order to make a living and have a home and transportation and food and clothes for our children, we end up being numb to what's really going on, at the lowest level, in our church, the church groups, in our jobs, in our community. And I think that just gets layered bigger and bigger and bigger, all the way up to Congress. I just watched The Most Dangerous Man in America not too long ago, the Ellsberg, who leaked the papers from the Pentagon. I mean, that's really unusual at even one of our local levels here in an organization to be a whistleblower, because mm-hmm. it ruins your life. So we are very ruled by the money, and I don't know what the answer is, except to, like Rich talked about last week, is be local. Your local foods, your local, support your local businesses, support your local, your neighbors.
Support a business
family.
Support a business which has something to lose if you start telling your friends and neighbors that they are not trustworthy, and that they produce defective food, for instance. This doesn't hold when you go to Walmart. When you buy something from Walmart, they could care less how satisfied you are. You know, they'll either ignore you or they might do a trade-in swap or something, but if they buy food products from China that are tainted with melamine, and you buy it, you know, that's you're voting for that type of unaccountability. And the only thing we know for sure is what we know through our direct sensory experience and what we can derive from that experience. And everything else is.
And we can take responsibility for our own nervous system. This relates back to Patricia and the therapy work and the spirituality. And we can stop contributing to these systems of lack and control by finding the peace within. That's where the spirituality comes in. To go back to some of the values of integrity and honesty, and a handshake means something, and when you make a product and you sell it, you stand by it. If you go into your church, you work cooperatively. I know from conflict resolution that churches, colleges, school systems, businesses are all reeking of people in power lording it over other people. And each of us has a responsibility to go within to heal our own self and not overpower others.
I have a quick little blurb from the Transportation Security Administration describing to us how they intend to protect us from ourselves. And I thought it was fairly Orwellian and amusing at the same time. Maybe you guys will get a kick out of it.
Under the Future Attribute Screening Technologies, or FAST program, the Department of Homeland Security is developing innovative physiological and behavioral screening technologies to streamline the screening process at security checkpoints. In support of this program, Battelle has partnered with industry leaders Farber Specialty Vehicles and Draper Laboratory to design and develop a portable research facility for the development and demonstration of innovative security screening technologies, the FAST Demonstration Laboratory. The mobility of the FAST demonstration laboratory allows security officials to quickly and efficiently establish security boundaries at any location, making it useful for everything from large sporting events, border crossings, or airports. The screening mobile module provides a checkpoint to establish or supplement security facilities at points of entry. At special events...
Anyway, this is the logical end result of trusting strangers.
At birth.
At birth and throughout your life.
No, we have a society. This is, it just points out again, we have a society of people who are scared to death. They are afraid, and that is imprinted when they leave the mother's womb and come into this world, and they are touched by strangers, harshly, roughed up, poked, prodded, shot, separated. We have in our brain the wiring for fear and lack, and we can begin to change that by supporting natural birth and empowered birth of women to give birth when and where, without drugs, and to leave the babies alone. Leave them alone, leave them in the mother's arms, and we need to preserve the mother-baby relationship. And in addition to wanting live babies, we need to have, every hospital needs to have the mandate that they will do whatever they can to make sure that that mother and that baby stay connected, because that is how we get rid of the fear that drives everything that we've been talking about.
And that fear has been so thoroughly exploited by whoever controls the federal government.
They're some of the biggest Brady babies.
If terrorism is defined as the exploitation of fear for political purposes, then I think the federal government fits that.
When it comes to money, I often say, how much is enough? You know, these people that make hundreds of thousands of dollars a minute, these CEOs, and like they can't get enough. And like, how much control, how much power over people is enough? How much do you really need? And it's an inside job. So, like Mike Hagan here in Columbia told me, you know, we need to stop harming. We need to stop harming the babies, and we need to help those who were harmed to heal. All of those adults need to heal. And as we heal, we will stop harming the babies. And as we stop harming the babies, we will heal. And it's a back and forth from the polarities to the balance within.
Yep.
It's the key to the future. It's a necessary transition we're going to have to make if we're going to survive as a species.
Well, good show, you guys.
Yeah, it looks like it's almost 6 o'clock, and I think the tech guys are waiting in the wings. So, thanks a lot for coming on the show, Patricia.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone out there, and thank you, Kurt, for facilitating. I think that we're looking at doing this in the future with you facilitating the discussion.
That's great. Yeah, we weren't born to be cattle. We were born to be the children of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Exactly.
All right. So we will see you in 2 weeks from today.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.